the spices that day. But Jesus had risen, the stone rolled away. When Mary saw Jesus in the garden so soon, she thought it was the keeper who watched o'er the tomb. But she knew it was Jesus when he turned to say, "Go tell my disciples I have risen today." Early one morning at the breaking of dawn, two women went out to the garden alone. They were going to anoint Jesus with spices that day, but Jesus had risen, the stone rolled away. When Mary stooped over to look in the tomb, two angels were sitting in that little room. Why seek ye the living among the dead? For Jesus had risen, the angel then said. Early one morning at the breaking of dawn, two women went out to the garden alone. They were going to anoint Jesus with spices that day, but Jesus had told Peter that Jesus was gone. He ran to the garden and John came along. Oh, but the tomb, it was empty. What marvelous grace, for there lay the napkin that covered his face. And Jesus had risen, the stone rolled away. Early one morning at the breaking of dawn, two women went out to the garden alone. They were going to anoint Jesus with spices that day, but Jesus had risen, the stone rolled away. Yes, Jesus had risen, the stone rolled away.
Good morning, and again, welcome to Pentecostal Voice of Truth. We're certainly thankful that you tuned in again this morning to be a part of the broadcast. Our prayer and our aim is that God will enrich your life and draw you closer to Him, that you'll be strengthened in the faith, that your love for the Lord will grow stronger through the Word of God and through the songs that are sung on the broadcast. And what a wonderful, wonderful day it is to be celebrating Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our religion stands out so much different than other religions because we serve a living God. Not a memory of a God that once lived and is dead, but Jesus is the only one whose footprints lead on through the grave, and they can be traced on the other side of the grave. We serve a resurrected Savior. I'm glad that we can point to an empty tomb that seals this wonderful salvation that we enjoy. And friend, I want you to know, if you're not a Christian, if you're not a believer, you need to take a look again at the evidence. Jesus went to the cross. He purchased our salvation through His death, through His blood that was shed on Calvary's hill. He was laid in a tomb, but early that first Easter morning, He arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. So I want you to consider the evidence. If you don't know the Lord, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, there would be no better day than right now, this morning, to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. He will not cast out anyone that comes to Him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. He welcomes those that know they need a Savior. His love is reaching for you this morning. And I can't think of a better time than early on this Easter morning to give your heart and life to the Lord. Right now is the time. Now is the day of salvation, is what the Word of God tells us. I want to draw your attention to a very familiar portion of Scripture that we look at all the time, but especially at Easter. It's in St. John chapter number 20. This passage always intrigues me when it comes this time of the year. I want to look at it one more time this morning and trust the Lord will anoint us to say what needs to be said this morning. St. John chapter 20, verse number 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. I want you to notice verse number 1 of this passage of scripture. The Bible said the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. That little phrase that's injected into that verse is a very interesting phrase that is used by John as he is writing this account of Mary and then later Simon and himself coming to the tomb and looking at this. But John makes it specific in verse number 1 that when Mary Magdalene came early, it was yet dark. I know this is speaking of the sun not yet rising, of it being early in the morning. It's still dark. There is a dark haze that is settled over that cemetery, that garden where the Lord is laid. But somehow I also see spiritual significance in this phrase that is used, because I believe not only did Mary Magdalene come early on that first day of the week as far as the natural is concerned, but I believe she also came in the dark spiritually as well. I believe there was a darkness in her life because so much of what she depended on was laying in that tomb. She had her hope, her trust, her confidence, her faith. Everything about this new life that had came to Mary was laying in that tomb. She had been a recipient of grace and mercy and forgiveness that came her way. And she did not understand why that Jesus had to go to the cross, why Jesus had to die, and why Jesus was laid in the sepulchre. Notice verse number 9, the Bible said, For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So much of what they had heard had went in one ear and out the other, so to speak, because they were not understanding what Jesus had been preaching and teaching to them. and now is being displayed in front of them. Isaiah, chapter 53 was being played out in front of them of a suffering Messiah who would die for the sins of his people. And yet they could not understand the scripture because it was dark in their lives. I want to tell you, when darkness sets in the natural, there's things that happen to us that don't happen to us in the light. But much more tragic than that is when spiritual darkness overtakes us. When once our faith was strong, when once our faith was vibrant, when once our confidence in the Lord stood strong, and we knew beyond a shadow of a doubt where we stood with the Lord, and then for the light to go out and for the darkness to invade our lives, it becomes a tragic thing in our life. And I want to tell you, the Bible tells us in St. John chapter 20 and verse number 1, that Mary Magdalene came early when it was yet dark. I want to preach to you this morning, the Lord being my helper, on the first Easter started in the dark. Praise the Lord. The first Easter started in the dark. It was dark in Mary's life. It was dark in her world. Naturally, the sun had not risen upon the world, but inwardly and spiritually, there was a darkness that was pervading in her life. She did not know why Jesus had to die and why he was laying in the tomb. I believe there are folks that are listening this morning that at one time in your life, there was a vibrant spiritual light that illuminated your path, and you believed beyond a shadow of a doubt, and you trusted in the Lord and the Savior as your Lord and Savior. But somehow across your pathway, darkness has prevailed. Maybe sickness, maybe the death of a loved one, maybe some tragic event, maybe something that has happened to you inwardly by the accusations or the actions of another that has caused the light to go out in your life, and you don't trust like you used to trust. You have become a doubter and a skeptic because the light has went out in your life. I want to preach to you this morning and tell you that's exactly what was going on in Mary's life. Not only in Mary, but in Peter and John and these other disciples. When Jesus had went to the cross, their light had went out. They followed him. They worshiped him. They served him. It's in the book of John, chapter number 6, that when Jesus taught things hard to understand, when Jesus taught things that they could not figure out, the Bible says many turned and walked no more with him. And he turned to his own disciples and he said to them, "Will ye also go away?" His question was his own inner circle. Will you walk away because of the sayings that are hard to understand? But it was Peter who spoke up and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life." Peter was saying there are words that are hard to understand, and there are also words of eternal life. And when we consider and we look at it, there is no other place to turn. We have no place to go. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter understood and John understood. But now when Jesus has been crucified, now when Jesus has been laying in the grave up to the third day, they are hiding in fear of the Jews. They're locked up in a hole somewhere, wondering what is going on. Why has this darkness invaded our life? I want to tell you, there's times in our life where it seems as if the light goes out. It seems as if darkness is prevailing in our life. It seems like where once faith stood strong, now doubt seems to rule the day. That's exactly where Mary was at. Her light had went out. This was the one that had cast seven devils out of Mary. Mary Magdalene. This was the one that had brought light into her life. This was the one that had spoke peace to her troubled heart. And now he's laying in a sepulcher. His body is wrapped in a linen cloth. And Mary says, it's all over. We're done. There is no use in trying to go on any farther. But Mary makes a decision that will have eternal consequences in her life. Even though it is dark, and even though it seems that doubt and unbelief is ruling the day, Mary says, I've got one choice. I can either walk on in the darkness, or I can go back to the last place where I knew that the light was at, and that was at the sepulcher. I want to tell you, friend, you can't walk on in darkness and defeat. You can't keep walking in doubt and unbelief. You must go back to the only one that has brought light into your life. The Bible says, in the beginning, when there was no world, when it was all darkness, and there was nothing but blackness of night, no form, no comeliness, nothing to look at. The Bible says, in the beginning, God. That's where God started, in a world that was dark and black. He started in a world that was without form and void. And God said into that dark world, let there be light. And when light came into this world, it started the process of creation in our lives. I realized the sun goes down. It sets in the western sky, and we have to go through a period of night. But the writer said in the Old Testament book of Psalms that weeping may endure for the night, but joy is going to come in the morning. I want to tell you, Jesus knew that there must be a period of darkness. And when he was hanging on the cross, there was darkness in the world when there was supposed to be light. It looked as if darkness would prevail. But the Bible tells us on that first day of the week, that third morning that Jesus had laid in the ground, amen, he told us himself that as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so must the Son of Man be laid in the heart of the earth. He prophesied there would be a 3-day period that darkness would prevail. But I come to preach to you this morning, that first Easter morning, I don't know what number we're at this morning, but I do know this is another Easter. But if I could take you back to the first Easter, if I could take you back to that first day of the week when Mary decided the only thing left to do is to go back to the sepulcher. It's dark naturally, it's dark spiritually, but I want to find out one more time where they laid him. And when she got to the sepulcher, to her surprise, amen, darkness was over the earth and darkness was over her heart, but there was a light at the door of the tomb. I want to preach to you this morning that if you'll make your way back to the last place that you found the light, it may be that you walked out of church so frustrated and so faithless, you said, I'll never go back. It may be that you walked away from a preacher that was reaching for your soul, and because of the misfortunes of your life, you said, I'm not going back. But this preacher come to tell you, the first Easter started in the dark. It was darkness over the earth. It was darkness over Mary's heart, but it didn't stay like that. Hallelujah. God will not leave you in the darkness. God will not leave you without faith. In fact, the Bible tells us in Genesis 1, when we're reading the account of creation, it does not say the morning and the evening was the first day, but it tells us the evening and the morning were the first day. You see, God always starts in the darkness and works his way into the light. Our day starts in the morning when the sun is coming up, and we work into the evening. But the Bible tells us of God who starts in the darkness. Praise the Lord. Amen. The evening and the morning were the first day. He started in the darkness of night, but he moved it into the light. And that's the way God works. I'll not lie and tell you that there are always going to be sunshiny days and beautiful sunrises in your life. I know there's times that our faith has to walk through the cold and dark night, but I also want to tell you that the sunrise is coming. Amen. God is going to bring a morning. It's not always going to be darkness. It's not always going to be despair. It's not always going to be doubt and gloom. God is going to lead us to the morning. Amen. The sun's going to come up in your life if you'll make your way back to God. If you'll make your way back to the Word of God. If you'll make your way back to faith. I tell you on the authority of God's Word that God is going to let the sun shine again. God is going to bring brightness and glory back into your life because you do not need a light at the end of the tunnel. What you need is a light at the door of the tomb. That's what you're in need of this morning. And I come to preach to you, for over 2,000 years the tomb has been empty, and there is a light at the door of the tomb this morning. The last enemy to be defeated was death. And Christ, by necessity, must take upon himself the form of a servant. He must be made like unto his brethren, that he might be the first fruits of the resurrection. It was by necessity he went to the cross. It was by necessity that he was laid in the tomb. But it was also by necessity that he rose triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. I feel like telling somebody this morning, God wants to turn the light back on. The first Easter started in the darkness, but it could be this Easter morning that God wants to flip the light switch back on in your life. God wants to bring healing and restoration into your life this morning. God wants to illuminate that darkness. Amen. Darkness does not have to prevail in your life. Darkness does not have to block out where faith once stood. Amen. God would like to turn the light back on in your life. God would like to bring a victorious resurrection of faith so that the light can shine again in your heart and in your life. It wasn't just Mary that her Easter started out in the darkness. These other disciples that were hiding in fear, they still did not know what was going on. And these two disciples ran to the tomb. Amen. The Bible says, in verse number 8, then went in also that other disciple. He is speaking of himself, which came first to the sepulcher. John is speaking of himself. And the Bible says, he saw and believed. Amen. Mary's light was about to come back on. But before Mary's light comes back on, John's light comes back on. Amen. Then the Bible says, as Mary stood without the sepulcher, weeping and wondering where is the Lord? Amen. There was a voice behind her. Excuse me. There was a voice behind her that said her name, Mary. And when she heard her voice, she knew that it was the Lord. Amen. When he said the name Mary, the light came back on. When he said her name, it was illumination that came into her life. The darkness fled away, and there was glorious, wonderful light once again in her life. My friend, you must believe. The evidence speaks for itself, but you must believe. Praise the Lord. It was in this garden. It was in this place where Mary turned, thinking he was the gardener. But instead of the gardener, she found the Lord, and the light came back on. Praise the Lord. Could it be this morning that in your place in life, wherever it might be, could it be that the Lord is whispering your name, calling you to come back to the place where you first saw the light? Come back to the one that first gave you that experience in your life. And if you have never known the Lord, I want to tell you, there'd be no better time than this morning for the Lord to turn the light on in your life. The Bible tells us in the beginning of John that in him was light. There was no darkness at all. And when the Lord comes into your life, He illuminates the darkness of your world. Your world is dark. Your world is closing in around you. Your world feels like it's sucking all the life out of you because darkness seems to be prevailing. But I say to you this morning that God wants to turn the light back on in your life. God wants to give you glorious, wonderful victory over that darkness that is in your life. The first Easter morning, it was Jesus who turned the light back on in Mary's life. But this Easter morning, it will also be Jesus that would like to turn the light back on in your life. Praise the Lord. Why don't you come to Him this morning? Why don't you, by faith, reach out in the direction of the light that is shining from an empty tomb? You see, if you'd make your way to the light, you'd find the closer you get to the light, the more your path is illuminated. And it just dispels the darkness away. The Bible said the path of the just is as a shining light. It shineth brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. That's the just man that is walking towards the light. John would tell us in the books of Little John to walk in the light as he is in the light. And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. I believe somebody got up this morning, and even though naturally the light is beginning to illuminate the world, spiritually darkness has prevailed in your life. Spiritually darkness has closed in around you. And I just feel a burden to tell somebody this morning that was what happened on the first Easter. It started in the darkness. But the more Mary went in that faith walk to the tomb, and then looking where they laid the Lord, the more she looked, the more she searched, the more light that came into her life, until Jesus called her name Mary, and spiritually the light came back on. Just as surely as naturally, the sun was peeking up over that eastern sky. As the sun is coming up this morning, why don't you turn your attention to a resurrected Savior? Why don't you turn your attention to a resurrected Lord and let Him turn the light on in your life? You don't have to walk in darkness any longer. You can know what it is to live in the light. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You, Lord, for Your resurrection. The Bible says, because You live, we can live also. Lord, I pray someone this morning that is in the darkness of despair, someone that is hurt by feelings and frustrations that has caused darkness in their life, I pray they'd turn their attention to the light this morning. God, I pray that some way, somehow, as they look to You, that light would come into their life. Lord, there's no way that I can or I would, but I know You can and You will turn the light on in someone's life. Lord, I want to praise You for the light that came into my life, for shining that glorious gospel on my pathway. I pray You'd do it for someone else this morning. We'll praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord bless you.